Watch you stand to your feet, adults, and let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We have three verses we want to share with you today out of the book of Genesis, starting at chapter 17, verse number 17. Say amen. We've located that text,
amen.
Genesis 17, 17. And then I want to read one verse in Genesis 18, a few verses in Genesis 18, and another verse in Genesis chapter 21. Say amen, you've located Genesis 17. In verse 17, the Bible reads as follows. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Somebody say laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So keep that verse in mind. Go to chapter 18. Look at verse number 12. And the Bible says, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And let's do one more verse in Genesis chapter 21. Verse number 6, and the Bible says, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh. Somebody say laugh again.
Laugh.
And all who hear will laugh with me. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and may sanctify the people of God. Beloved, I would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon. Be careful at what you laugh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if I can say it another way, be careful at whom you laugh.
Yes.
And if I can say it in the vernacular, be careful at what you laugh at. Amen. But I want to be a little bit more polite and correct with English grammar. Be careful at whom you laugh. Be careful at what you laugh. Because you never know who has the last laugh. Actually, you do know Jesus has the last laugh. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your words would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you've intended. May hearts be encouraged today. May minds be illuminated today. Lord, help someone understand trouble doesn't last always. And help someone understand a deeper application of your word. Ultimately, God, I pray that you would convict somebody's soul, and that you would draw someone from where they are to where you want them to be. God, you are God, and above you there is no other. We ask now that you, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Miriam, Deborah, Ishmael, Peter, James, John, Eunice, Lois, and Priscilla, that you, God, will continue to rain down fresh in this place. In the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus, we pray that God's children say amen,
amen,
amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. God keep you is our prayer. Ushers, you may be seated as well. Beloved, I want to speak today. I want to continue in the sermon series that I have been sharing with you about the life of Abraham and Sarah. We can say Abraham and Sarah because as of last week I preached to you out of the book of Genesis and talked to you about the Abrahamic covenant, in which God changed Abraham's name from Abram and changed Sarai's name to Sarah. And so I believe that it is in this early book of the text, the first book of the Pentateuch, the first book of the Torah, the book that sets the tone for the rest of the Judeo-Christian scriptures. I believe it is here, beloved, that we find a deep, rudimentary, basic understanding of God's relationship to man and man's relationship to God. And no better a biblical character to express this to us than the person of Abraham. I believe Abraham models for us a life of faith and what it means to not walk by what our circumstances look like, by what God has spoken our circumstances to be even before they materialize. And so Abraham models this life of faith, stepping out on nothing, believing that something is there, this understanding that God is a very present help in all our times of need and trials, that God has never left us nor forsake us, that God is true to his name, Emmanuel, that God is God with us no matter where we would find ourselves. And so Abraham is a great model of this. And last week I spoke about the Abrahamic covenant, and I want to remind us about the multitude of covenants that we see in the scriptures: the Edenic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the New covenant. All of these covenants are reminders to us that God keeps God's promises. Some of you really believe that God is a promise keeper. I preached on that last week, and it was out of Genesis 17, that the first part of the book, that we preached about a God keeping his promise to Abraham. This today I want to talk about laughter and what it means to laugh and what it means to be laughed at and what it means to laugh at somebody and what does it mean to understand who has the last laugh. This Hebrew word for laugh that is repeated both in Genesis chapter 17, verse 17, repeated in chapter 18, verse number 13, and repeated in chapter 21, verse number 6, are all taken from the same word, which is this root word in Hebrew, tasak, tasak. And this word is interesting because what you find often in the Hebrew scriptures is this play on words. And if you look at this word, you can almost see how with some manipulation you can get a biblical name out of this word, Yitzhak, or Isaac, which is Isaac in English, Yitzhak in Hebrew. And you can almost look at this word, tuxtak, and get some sense of how it is derived, how the name Yitzhak is connected to this word to laugh. In point of fact, Isaac's name has at its root this notion of laugh and laughing. And I think part of what is interesting about how God does what God does is that God, in this case, gets the last laugh. In a time when Abraham himself didn't even understand that he could bear children, a time when Sarah doubted her ability to bring a child into this world, in a time where I'm sure other folk around Abraham and Sarah said, "You've got to be kidding me. These parents are going to give birth to a child." I want to say, be reminded of who has the last laugh. How many of you know we live in a world where a lot of folk doubt God's ability and what God can do in our lives, and to a certain degree we ourselves even doubt sometimes, if truth be told, what it is God can do in our situations. But I want to remind somebody that when folk are laughing at you and folk are doubting what God can do, I want to say to you, be reminded that God has the last laugh. And in this particular situation, it is fascinating to me to see how God works in this situation. I want to preach about this notion of Abraham himself laughing and rolling on the ground when God tells him that he's going to have a child. I want to speak about how Sarah laughs at God in a way that mocks God almost. And then at the end of the story in chapter 21, how Sarah is matured in her faith, grows in her understanding of who God is, and that she now is not the one being laughed at. She's not the one laughing at God, but she's the one laughing with God. Come on, somebody. body. And I need us to understand the progression that Abraham and Sarah makes in this story. I liken this story to, and this issue of laughing, it's similar to the stages of grief. You know how the many counselors will talk to you that when you experience a traumatic experience in your life, that there are stages or loss, there are stages of grief. And usually the early stages are shock and then denial. And then there's a movement towards acceptance. Some folk will say there's anger in there at the loss of someone or something dear and personal to you. Now I want to flip that around and say, like the stages of grief, loss, I want to say there are interesting stages of blessing that often come our way, and our response to great blessings, the bigger the blessing, the greater these stages, I believe. And I want to say to you that I believe, like loss, there is a stage of shock that you can almost believe that you are being blessed in the way that you are being blessed. So shock. And then secondly, there is a period of denial in which you may question, do I deserve to be blessed in the way that I am being blessed? Maybe I self-sabotage. You know, you can sabotage some of your own blessings.
All right.
Because of where you're at in your own development, your own socio-emotional development, you can even sabotage. You don't think you're worthy of being blessed in the way that you're going to be blessed. And I want to say to somebody, not only are you worthy, that's the reason Jesus died for you. Because he loves you that much to give you not only gifts now, but the gift of everlasting life. And then thirdly, it is, I believe, the sense for moving from shock to denial to acceptance, that you now accept this great gift that God has given to you. Now let's look at the story of Abraham and Sarah and how I believe they move through these stages of blessing, not loss, but blessing. The first one is the stage of shock. Look at Genesis chapter 17, verse number 17. The Bible says that God, after telling Abraham that he's going to be blessed, and let me just say this as a caveat, not only does he tell Abraham that he's going to be blessed, but he tells Abraham that Sarah is going to be blessed. Not only does he tell Sarah is going to be blessed, he says Ishmael is going to be blessed, his son by Hagar. And not only does he say that Ishmael is going to be blessed, he says that Isaac or Yitzhak is also going to be blessed. And so the blessing was not just for the one, but the blessing were for a lot of folk around him. You know that often, if not most times, and not every time, your blessing is not just for you, but it's for somebody around you, in your orbit, in your experience, in your family, in your community. So understand that the blessing is not just for you. In point of fact, the bigger the blessing, the more you ought to understand, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? I don't believe God blesses us for our own individual gain. I believe God blesses us to elevate us, that he may get the glory, and somebody else around us would understand the same God that did that for you, come on somebody, is the same God that can do that for me and can deepen my own faith walk. And so God says to Abraham, you'll get blessed, your wife will get blessed, your son will get blessed, your other son will get blessed. But then he says, this is how you're going to get blessed. I already told you last week, the promise was a great nation would come from Sarah's womb. And so the blessing is, number one, he says, you're going to be blessed with a son, and you shall call that son's name Isaac. Yitzhak, which again, at the root of Isaac's name, is laugh, or to laugh, or laughter. And look at how Abraham responds to God. He says in verse number 17 that Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And so this response is what I call the stage of shock. Abraham is looking at his biological circumstance, his circumstantial reality, and saying, am I, who's 99 now, soon to be, am I going to be the father of a child? I'm too old. Is my wife going to be the mother of a child? She's too old. And so God says to Abraham, you're going to give birth. And Abraham's response is to fall on the ground and literally to laugh. I don't think he means to do it in a demeaning way or a disrespectful way. But the very promise, the very notion of getting a blessing of that magnitude sends Abraham into a shock, I believe, that causes him to roll on the ground. And I think, truth be told, many of us, when God is doing something in our lives, many of us will also find ourselves in a period of shock to say, Lord, wow, are you sure you're going to do that for me? Wow, I can't believe you're about to do that. Wow, that's blowing my mind. And I just need somebody to know that's how God is. God is a God that will blow your mind. God is a God that wants you to not look at what it is, but look at what it can be like. God is a God that says, don't worry about what the circumstance looks like. I know you are 100 years old, Abraham. I know your wife is 90 something years old, but I am God all by myself. There's nothing, come on somebody, too big, too heavy, too hard for me to work out. God says to Abraham, you're going to be blessed with a son. Abraham's immediate response is to laugh. That word, tasab, that word that gives us some sense of he's in a state of disbelief, a state of not understanding the fullness. And that's why I want to keep saying to you, God is working some things out that will blow your mind. And as a point of fact, you're better off not knowing the fullness of the blessing now, because you wouldn't be able to handle it all if he told you what's about to come into your future. God has peeked into your future. He knows what's coming up ahead. He's getting you ready for your breakthrough, your deliverance. He's getting you ready. He's setting you up. And I know what your circumstances look like right now, but stop looking at the circumstances. Stop worrying about what it looks like and get ready for your blessing. Come on, somebody. There's a sense of wowness in which Abraham is suspended in disbelief. He laughs. He rolls on the ground. Ask God the question. I'm 100. She's 90. How can this thing be? I don't think it's anything that Abraham ought to be impugned for. Because truth be told, some of us, God has promised something, and some of us are still in states of suspended disbelief. We don't understand how it's going to work out. We don't understand how the mountain is going to be moved. But I just want to again stop by to tell you that God is able. And so the first laugh, Genesis 17:17, the second laugh is Genesis 18, verse 11 and 12, in which now Sarah, if I can switch over to Sarah, but I want to use them as a couple and keep them in tension, in dynamic tension, and use these stages of blessing to both speak for Abraham and Sarah's response together. Sarah now overhears the angels of the Lord talking to Abraham and reiterates the promise that they shall have a child. And look at Sarah's response in chapter 18, verse number 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. If you can just read between the lines, here's what Sarah's really saying. You're going to wait till I get 100 something years old. Then allow me to experience the pleasure of having a baby. Are you kidding me? That's just exegetical note by Pastor Armstrong. But I think I have license to read it within the text, because any commentator on the text will say that Sarah's laugh was different than Abraham's laugh. While Abraham's laugh was a sense and laughter of disbelief and wildness, I believe, Sarah's laugh was a statement of skepticism and cynicism. You're going to wait till I get 90 years old. Now I want to give me a baby. How can this thing be? I want you to look at what the response is in verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? In verse 14, the Bible says, is anything, come on someone, too hard for the Lord?
At the appointed time, I will return to you, Abraham and Sarah, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall bear a son. And verse 15 is where I want to get to. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And the angel of the Lord said, no, but you did laugh. How many of you know you can't hide anything from God? When we get to our cliffs of skepticism and our mountains of despair, we often find ourselves in similar situations as Sarah. I don't believe that God can do this. Not only am I wowed by this, but I've been so let down before. I've been so hurt before. I've gotten to a point where I am on the cliff of skepticism and cynicism, and I just refuse to believe that God is able. So my laughter is a laugh of cynicism towards God. But God steps in and says, why are you laughing? Do you doubt my ability? Do you doubt that I can do what I said I would do? Do you doubt that I can straighten out crooked places? Do you doubt that I can smooth over rough places? Do you doubt that I can open doors that no man can shut? Do you doubt that I can move mountains out of your way? Do you doubt that I can be a bridge over troubled water? Do you doubt that I can make a way out of no way? Do you doubt that I can bring the enemies under your feet? Do you doubt that I can heal your body of cancer? Do you doubt that I can give you a job? Do you doubt that I can keep you in your house? Do you doubt that I am God all by? Come on, someone. Do you doubt what I can do? Sarah says, no, I wasn't laughing. God called her out and said, yes, you were laughing. And truth be told, God should call all of us out. Because as faithful as we say we want to be, all of us would be lying if we never said we got to a cliff of cynicism and said, Lord, I've been through too much right now. I'm finding it difficult. I'm struggling with the ability to see my way through this thing. I'm working with some naysayers and some backbiters and some prayer haters and some backstabbers. I'm walking up a mountain. I feel like I'm pushing a rock up a mountain. I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing. I'm struggling, God. I don't know why you took my husband. You took my wife. You took my child. I just don't know. Truth be told, all of us should be called out by God when we find ourselves in those states of cynicism and skepticism. We are doubting God's ability. And I know you say, I don't do it, but at some point you've questioned. And I say it's not wrong to question God, but what's wrong is to turn your back and not to wait on the answer of the Lord. Come on, someone. Let me let you in on the deep reality, the exegetical reality. You know, the Bible says he does not come when we want him to, but the Bible says at my appointed time. You're not getting that message, are you? A lot of us, we are not on the cliff of skepticism. We are on the cliff of over-anxious expectation. We want what we want when we want it, and we want it now. And if God doesn't answer your prayer right now, then you start doubting God. But God didn't say, I'm going to bless you when you want it. God said, at my appointed time. That means sometimes you got to tarry. Come on, somebody. You got to wait on the Lord for your blessing. And God says to Abraham, and God says this, at my appointed time, I will come and I will give you a child. And so whatever the 9 months, three trimesters of pregnancy were for Abraham and Sarah, God is at a point where Sarah is doubting this could happen. And I want you to remember the statement that resounds in my mind, in my spirit, that God says to Sarah and to Abraham, is there anything too hard for me to do? And I need someone here to be reminded today that no matter what you've been through, I don't want you to get spiritual amnesia, because God said there's nothing too hard. I know you don't have a job right now, but there's nothing too hard. I know the doctor diagnosed you with some sickness in your body, but there is nothing too hard. I know your marriage is on the brink of chaos and destruction, but there is nothing too hard. I know your child is out there running the streets and you praying every night of the week, but there is nothing too hard. God can do everything but fail. God can move mountains out of your way. God can do it, but you've got to believe that he can do it. There is nothing, somebody say, nothing too hard for my God to do. This statement of omnipotence is a characteristic of God that we must never forget, that God is omniscient. He knows everything. That God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. But here's what I like. God is omnipotent. He has all power in heaven and earth. That's when the devil gets a little bit of power. I say, devil, you're all right. I'll score one for you, but God's got the last laugh. You got a little bit of power. You got over me this time, but God's got the last. God's got all power. And I know what you're saying that I can't do, but God told me I can do it. I know where you said I won't go, but God said he'll take me there. I know you said I'll never get up, but God said, how many times should a man fall down? But a righteous man shall fall and rise every time. I know what the world says, but what does God say? God says, there's nothing too hard for me to work out. And whatever your problem is today, whatever your challenge, whatever your situation, I need you to listen to that statement. Nothing too hard for God. And so Abraham's laughter is one of disbelief, shock maybe. Sarah's laughter is one of cynicism and skepticism, denial. But then look at where Sarah gets in verse chapter 21, verse number 6. She gets to a place where she then says to God, and I like this text. It says in 21 verse number 6, after the baby was born, listen now, and Abraham circumcised his son Yishak. He was 8 days old. In verse 5, it says, now Abraham was 100, and when his son Isaac Yishak was born to him, and verse 6 said, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. I want you to understand that although it's the same word for laughter that it was put it that was written in verse chapter 18 verse number 12, I want you to understand now Sarah's laugh is different. I want you to understand that now that the baby has come and God has fulfilled his promise and God has manifested what he said he was going to do. I know a lot of us, before the blessing comes, we're one state, but after the blessing gets here, we're in another state. I know it's easy to bless God after the blessing gets here, but I need some folk who are able to bless God before your blessing gets here. I need some folk who are able to bless God before Isaac arrives. I need some folk who are able to bless God while you're still pregnant with the vision. I need some folk who can bless God before you give birth to the baby. I need some folk who will bless God before you get through your storm. I need some folk who will bless God before you get on the other side of the mountain. I need some folk who will bless God while you're down in the valley. You believe God can do it. You know he will lift you up, turn you around. I need some worshipers here today. Who will bless God before Isaac gets here? But now that he's here, now that you're holding him in your arms, now that you're suckling him against your breast, now that you know that you know that you know that the blessing is real, you ought to lose your mind and give God some praise, because God has answered. your prayer. Some of us are holding our blessings in our arms and still not giving God the glory that is due unto his name. That's now that Sarah is holding Isaac. Look at what she says. She says, now I will what? I will laugh with God. God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Now God has turned my cynicism and my skepticism and my pessimism and my doubt and my derision. He's turned it all around, and now I am laughing. God has made me laugh. Y'all not getting the message, are ya? See, the laugh before was when she was on the cliff, but now the laugh is that she's backed up. She's counted her blessings. She realized that her blessings come from the Lord. And now she says, God has made me laugh. God has made me joyful. God has made me happy. God has given me something to smile about. I doubted him before, but now he's turned my mourning into joy. How many of you know joy comes in the morning? Weeping endures for a night, but God has transformed your mourning and your weeping and make you laugh in the middle of your blessing, before your blessing, and after your. I just learned how to praise him and laugh with him. In the middle, before, and after my blessing comes. And here's the other part I like. Not only has God made me laugh, true joy, but everybody else, listen now, that laughed at me, all who hear will now laugh with me. You're not getting that message, are you? I need you to take your blessing, and you didn't have to say anything. Just walk by your prayer haters. Carry your baby. Walk by your naysayers. Carry your backstabbers. Walk in your blessing. All they can do is scratch their head and say, where did she get that? How did she get over? How did he get through? All you got to do is walk. And God will make those who laugh at you. Hey, he'll make them laugh with you now.
Yes, sir, I'm a witness. Yes, I'm a witness.
I believe that God is just that kind of God. He'll use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Sarah was 90-something years old, y'all, when she gave birth to Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old, y'all, when he gave birth to Isaac. Some of y'all need to stop doubting God and let go and let God. Let God bless you the way he wants to bless you. Let God prosper you the way he wants to prosper you. But you've got to get into the right mindset. Don't get into a suspended state of disbelief. What he's doing now is what he did yesterday. He's the same God. He's immutable. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's why I'm trying to condition my mind. So that when I come up against a mountain, and it's a big mountain, I say, okay, Lord, you got me over Mount Himalaya yesterday. How am I going to get over mountains, whatever it is, today? Same God, different mountain. Same blessing. That's what said Abraham's first response to me. I can accept it. Because God has done some stuff that has blown my mind. And there have been moments where I wondered, was I worthy? Did I deserve it? And guess what? The truth is, be like Sarah. No, you laughed at God. You don't deserve it. But he gave it to you anyway. Isn't God good? Gave it to you anyway. Got you out anyway. Brought you over anyway. Brought you through anyway. But then I want you to get to where Sarah got in verse 20, chapter 21, verse 6. Now, God has made me laugh with real joy. and those around me, they're going to laugh with me now. And all I've got to do is hold my head up and keep giving God the praise. Come on, somebody. That's what the choir sang about a minute ago. May my worship flow to you, God. Nobody else but you, God. Let me give you all my praise, all my thanksgiving, all the glory that belongs to you. Let me give it to you and nobody but you, God. I believe that when you give God all the glory and all the praise, praises go up. I absolutely believe blessings come down. Psalm 22 says God will inhabit the praises of his people. That means he'll step into your praise. I don't care what it looks like, you keep praising him. He'll step into your praise. I don't care if your marriage is on the rocks, start praising the Lord. He'll step into your marriage. I don't care if they're hating you on your job, start praising him on your job. He'll step on your job. I don't care what the doctor said, start praising him in the doctor's office. He'll step in to your praise. I don't care if you just lost your husband, just lost your wife, to figure out how to praise him and let God step into your praise, transform your situation so that you're no longer laughing at God, you're laughing with God. And folk are no longer laughing at you. They're now laughing with you. Because they have no choice. Because when God does something magnanimous, everybody's got to take recognition that God did that and nobody else. Come on, somebody. Let your testimony be your praise. And let your praise be your testimony. Somebody say amen today. In the name of Jesus. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess and clergy, let me extend an invitation to discipleship. Isaac and Abraham and Sarah give us great lessons for where we are in our humanness, our naked humanity. Truth be told, we all find ourselves some point in our lives, either like Abraham or either like Sarah. But it is my deep prayer that we would get to a point where we really, truly have surrendered to God and let go and let God have it. Today, someone needed to hear this message. You're here today and you're up against something. I don't know what it is, but it is as difficult as a 100-year-old man giving birth to a baby and a 90-year-old woman mothering a child. But look at what God did for Abraham and Sarah. And I just believe you got to get to a certain point. Either I believe it or I don't believe it. Either I believe it or I don't. Someone here, I believe, may have come in here with a hint of disbelief, but now God is saying something to you. There's nothing too hard. He's whispering in your ear, there's nothing too hard. Your family members, there's nothing too hard. Your job, there's nothing too hard. Your body, there's nothing too hard. Your doubters, there's nothing too hard. And so as we extend, the choir is going to sing. And if you want prayer, awesome. Step in the aisles and one of these men or women will pray with you and pray for you. Deacons and deaconess and clergy have been trained to pray for people. But more importantly, if you want to join our church today, I want to give you a great invitation to come out and come forward. Step out of your seat if you want to, looking for a church home. And this is your time. Maybe you came here and you've been wondering, Pastor, I've been out of a church. God is saying to you, today is the day I want you to come forward. So if you're here today, I want you to step out if you want to join Shiloh. And then secondly, and more importantly, if you don't know God for yourself, God
wants to have a personal relationship with you. And you can have that. You can have a personal relationship with God. We believe through His Son, Jesus. And so I'm inviting someone today to come on out. As the choir sings, go ahead and sing, choir. As they sing, we want to give you these two invitations. Church membership, but more important, relationship. Relationship to God. Anybody here?
Here I am to
anybody here?